This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. Often, entrepreneurs refer to their businesses as something to develop an almost parental attachment to. And as a parent myself, I would argue that parenting a child and managing a work setting aren't entirely unrelated. Rachel Kwas, child and family development specialist, joins me in the studio to discuss just that, how you can take the methods of respectful parenting and apply them to your workplace. And now Rachel is also the owner of Rachel Kate, which is a store. So what do you do with this business? Before we get into our topic, your stores, what do you do?
Thank you so much, Rita, for having me. I'm so excited. So my stores are essentially gift stores for Mama Tribe. I'm big on Mama Tribe. And so it's just a place for you to find something fun for someone you love, or maybe even just for yourself, or even your little kid.
So these 8 stores, where are they actually? You can also get them online.
Yeah. So Okay. We have, they're quite exciting. So usually our business model is that we have stores within stores because I'm a mom. And I wanted to concentrate on being a mom. I love being a mom. And so having the stores within the stores allows me the freedom, the flexibility to just let go.
Okay.
And focus on where it matters, which is curating the content,
right?
Putting it out in store. So it's in Borders, in all the Borders. It's also, we also have a pop-up with Playground, Serene and Chantel.
Okay.
We also have a really exciting Christmas market coming up with HTBB Church. And then we also have random pop-ups with just partners and brands that we love.
Okay, so this is very interesting. So you're a business owner, and of course, you're also a child and family development specialist, and of course with that comes that big one, the being the parent, right? and then we're talking about this in Raise Your Game, so I'm not talking about parenting today, not directly, but we're talking about, you know, elements of parenting and how you apply that to a workplace, right? Now, when did you realize that parenting methods could be applied at the workplace in the first place?
You know what's crazy is that I actually started from a business background. Mm-hmm. So I started when I'm doing my parenting workshops, one of the big things about the Rachel method, I came out with my own name.
you won't forget it.
Yeah, there's acronyms. And so L means lead with love.
Okay.
And so whenever I talk to parents about how do we lead with love, I ask them to remember the favorite boss, the boss that inspired them, the boss that makes them want to go further, right? And so that's really how you tie it all in, because with your parenting skills is really the heart of leadership skills and allowing children to build leadership skills from the start sets them up for a life, right? Mm. With kids, what we always say is, you know, there's all these tools, there's all these methods, there's all these different things. You Google it and there's like 5 different answers.
Right.
And the easiest thing about the Rachel method is, I always tell parents, 10 years from now, when you're not there, what do you want them to be able to do?
Mm. Very interesting when you talk about your favorite boss at Lead with, and using those methods to apply that in the workplace. And I'm thinking of one of my favorite bosses who would always spend time to listen to me and just talk to me, you know, like our drive to meetings.
Yes.
We would just have conversations and I don't mind getting caught in traffic.
Yes.
And actually, I sleep in the car and he lets me sleep in the car. So.
Yeah.
So, you know, so then applying that, I guess, to in the workplace, and even applying that to my child, being able to, I guess, listen to him and let him sleep when he wants to sleep.
So if you think about your favorite boss, I mean, what were some key elements of your favorite boss?
Mm.
They were empowering. They believed in you. They never shamed you or threatened you or punished you or bribed you.
Mm.
They just said, I believe with you. I believe in you. And I'm going to sit with you in this. I'm going to sit with you and we're going to look for solutions together.
And reprimanded when necessary.
Yeah.
But reprimanded with the right intention.
With respect.
Mm.
And so that's what it all comes down to, is that how then, you know, we can say respectful parenting principles. We can say the Rachel method. And that's all like very fancy for how do we show each other respect.
Right.
And so what I want to be able to do today is I want to be able to give you 3 tips that you can take home today, apply in your workplace, apply it at home. And really what you're going to do is kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
Mm.
Be a better parent, be a better leader. They go hand in hand together.
Right.
Yeah.
So the first element of how we can apply the Rachel method to workplace is respect. I guess the R is respect. Yay. Okay, now, you know, and so how then, you know, we talk about these 3 methods, respectful parenting. What is, that falls under the acronym?
No.
Okay.
So under the acronym, it was... Under the acronym is just sort of like tools and things to remember, right? Mm. So you have A for acknowledge, C for consequences, H for help and I will hear you,
okay.
E for empower and empathize, A for allow. So right. you're allowing your kid, you're allowing your employees to have a say, to have a voice, to feel like they... ownership over your organization.
Mm.
Yeah. And then L is lead with love.
Okay.
So that always comes back to the heart of it is that you are a leader, so you're in charge.
Okay.
But how do we do it with love? How do we do it with respect?
Right. So what are the three things? Let's start with the first one.
Yeah. So one is just respect yourself.
Mm.
So this idea is that we have three things and all it is respect yourself, respect others, and then respect the environment. So what do I mean when I say respect yourself? It's learning to ask for what you need. So as a parent and as a child, my daughter will say, hey, Mama, I'm really cold. And I take a pause and I said, what do you really need, though?
Mm.
She has to think about, oh, I need a jacket because I'm cold.
Mm.
And so in a workplace, it's learning to ask for someone for what I need. So with my employees, I need to be able to say, hey, these are deliverables that I need. These are your KPIs. This is what I really need from you. I don't care what your plan is because I believe I've hired you for a reason, but this is what I need. And second thing about respecting myself is learning to speak with integrity, with truth, with love. So that's a really, I know in workplaces, it's so tempting to gossip. It's so tempting to put down other people. It's so tempting to show your power, right?
Mm.
And so one of the parts about speaking with integrity and love and truth is if I have a problem with an employee, if they're just not showing up for me, then to be very, very respectful of myself, first of all, and being able to talk to them in private.
Mm.
Because why do I want to shame them out?
Yeah.
Because what does that say about me?
Mm.
Right? It's just my ego talking. I just want to be able to blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Right? And instead, I want to be able to teach them about respecting yourself and talk to them in private.
Mm.
And then the other thing is just asking myself, am I growing?
Mm.
So with business, as you know, everything changes constantly. Even in my child family development specialist line, it's constantly growing. It's constantly going out there and say, what are some things that I need? What are some tools that I need in order to be able to continue learning, continue growing? And actually, one of my favorite places to go is the BFM Health conference, because again, I get to listen to other experts' opinions. So in your line of business, are you growing? Are you going out there? Are you asking for opinions? And then lastly, is just to stay rooted and authentic.
Mm.
Again, part of respecting yourself is, am I being my honest and best self?
Right.
Am I able to say, man, guys, I really made a mistake.
Hmm.
How am I going to model honesty, and how am I going to model apology to my little one and also to my employees? If I don't do it myself.
You know, the first thing that you said, though, you know, like when you don't reprimand in public, right?
Yes.
Because it's not respecting yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you see people doing that and they think, you know, by doing that, let me show you who's boss.
Yes.
And then we also sometimes see parents who shout at their kids in public as well, right?
Yes.
So where does that disconnect when they think, well, when I show my authority in public, I think it is about respecting myself.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, I deserve this respect.
So, yeah, that's very... So the other big heart of respectful parenting for me has always been trying to take these Western ideologies and then applying it to Asian context.
Mm.
But you go back to the neuroscience of it. The neuroscience of it says that if I'm going to yell at you, if I'm going to shame you, if I'm going to threaten you, where does your body immediately go? You immediately go to fight or flight.
Mm.
And when you go to fight or flight, is your brain able to rationalize? Is your brain able to talk to you? Is your brain able to sort of say, oh, I shouldn't have done that? No. Your brain's just going to fight or flight.
Right.
And so two bulls in a pen is not going to do anything.
Mm.
Instead, what I want to be able to do is sort of say, hey, I'm going to sit with you in this problem.
Mm.
This has happened. Let me try to understand what happened. Let me try and see what was the big picture. Just last night, I was doing these respectful parenting tips. And it was one, what happened? So asking what happened.
Mm.
Then the next was, what are you feeling? because you want to acknowledge how they're feeling. If you can acknowledge how they're feeling, then they move into their rational brain. If you can't acknowledge how they're feeling, they go back into the gut brain, which is just fight or flight.
Yeah.
And last is, what do I know? So what do I know about the facts?
Right.
So with an employee, I may say, okay, so what do you know? What do you know about what your expectations were? Mm. What do you know about what you did? What do you know about what the client did? Because, you know, a lot of times it's like, he said, she said, I said, they said. It was not my fault. It was their fault. Classic problem, right? Mm. So let's look at the facts. Let's acknowledge how you feel. And then let's see what your viewpoint is and how can we move on from here?
Right. I'm here with Rachel Quartz. Yes.
Quaz. Rachel Quaz.
All right. Talking about the methods of respectful parenting and how can this be applied in a work setting, we'll continue our conversation with the second bit in just a moment. Race a game.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
This is Race a Game. Good morning. Frida Liu here speaking to Rachel Quartz, talking about the methods of respectful parenting and how can this be applied in a work setting. Rachel is a child. See, I avoided her last name. Rachel is a child and family development specialist, owner of Rachel Kate, which has 8 stores in Malaysia. But we're talking about how, you know, you do a lot of work with child and family development. And of course, you see elements of that, applying that in the workplace as well. And you know, you talked earlier on about respect, yeah? And that was the first element of how if you bring respect into the workplace. Now, the second step is the idea of slowing down, right? Tell me about, and you actually use this principle from RIE, Resources for Infant Educarers, that's called Tarry Time, right? How does that manifest in the workplace?
So, to go back, so, again, what we want to try to remember to do is that, you know, leadership skills and parenting skills, they're both same, right? You, in the end, we want to be able to teach our kids leadership skills. But more so than that, if I'm able to give myself parenting skills, I'm able to lead better in a workplace. So coming back to slowing down again. So step two was actually respect others. And so if I slow down and tarry time, I'm able to wait for cooperation. I'm able to say, okay, a lot of times we just bulldoze our way in and then we say, no, this is how I see it, da-da-da-da-da. But if I tarry time, take a pause, deep breath, and then I'm able to say, okay, what is really going? Can you tell me what is going on?
Right.
And then I'm able to keep myself in check in terms of expectations. I'm able to let other people know what I expect of them.
Right.
And then when managing is asking, is this the highest and best use of my time, my talent, and my team? If I don't slow down to take check.
It's time out. Almost. If you've done, well, not so much that.
So hey, the thing about, again, remember we go back to the first step, which we were talking about, fight or flight, right?
Okay.
So timeout, what does that do? I've abandoned you in a room. I've put you in a corner. Okay. And what is your body doing?
All right.
Your
so
body
angry.
Is scared.
Okay.
Your body is angry. Your body feels abandoned. Your body feels just sort of, what have I done? Why doesn't they? Why don't they understand me?
Okay.
And so, am I going to move anywhere from that? No, I'm just I've basically just scared you into doing
it. Right. So, tarry time is not the same. Tarry time is just.
No, tarry time is just taking a pause,
taking a breath
in between, waiting for cooperation. Mm. So it's saying, here are the set of rules I've given you. I'm going to take a pause and see what you think about it. Mm. What is your opinion? Again, we want to respect others, so other people are allowed to have an opinion, even kids, even little ones.
Right.
How are we going to teach them to have a voice if we don't give them a voice from the start? Mm. Yeah. And
okay. There's this element of allowing ebbs and flows. How do you manage that in the workplace? You know, like everybody's go, 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 right?
Yeah. So again, I mean, going back to my first point, which there's a time to rest and there's a time to grow. So right now in my season, it's Christmas season. It's hustle time, right? Which means everything is go. Every weekend we're somewhere. Every weekend we're doing something. We're either doing a pop-up or I'm running 2 businesses.
Yes.
Sometimes it feels like 4 businesses. Plus I'm trying to, my home.
Right.
Right. So I'm split in all these places and this is hustle time. This is go time.
Right.
But there's also going to be a time for rest.
Mm.
There's going to be a time for me with my daughter. We take a day a week off every week.
Mm.
And I realize, and what I've learned again and again is, unless I give myself and unless I give my employees time to breathe, to be poured into, to just have time to reset.
Right.
they're not going to perform at their best.
Right.
Have we ever performed at our best when we're like burning the candle on both ends? No. So the ebb and flow is respecting, listening, again, asking yourself, what do I need in this moment? Where do I need to grow? And where can I go to get these things? Yeah.
Okay, understanding there's high tide and low tide.
Yes, yes.
And when there's low tide, you know, time to chill a little bit. Now,
yeah.
Now in parenting, there's also the idea of free play for children, where play is a necessity,
yes.
not a luxury. Necessity, yeah? Now, how does that work for adults, especially in the workplace?
So, what I've really realized is, you know, when I, the beautiful thing about understanding that parenting skills and leadership skills are the same is that it's really easy to take your workshop into different spaces. So I do workshops for teachers. I also do workshops for corporates. And when I've done workshops in corporates, what I realize is that, you know what they really need? They needed time to play. So letting them do building experientials where they understand, they get to feel it instead of, you know, we get all this head knowledge, but we don't have any heart knowledge. And the key is if you have the heart knowledge, you immediately know what the head knowledge
actually
is.
Yes, right?
So we have all kinds of fun experientials. We make them dance. We make them.
This is what you do with corporates.
Yes, okay. and time and time and time again, they'll come back and say, man, that was one of the best workshops I've ever had. We had so much fun, but we also learned so much.
Right.
And it's because we used all the different elements of learning. We didn't just sit there and say, here's some head knowledge. We said, how do we move our bodies and learn at the same time? Mm. How do we play? How do we understand this in a way? Because, you know, when a child plays, they're learning not just, oh, here is a doll. They're learning role play. They're understanding the way the world works. They're understanding different parts of their body. You know, allowing a child to physically play. So you think of a child climbing monkey bars. You just think, oh, they're climbing monkey bars. But what it actually does, it helps them with writing skills because the shoulder strength is going to improve their fine motor skills, right? And then with the fingertips, they're going to be able to hold a pen better because they have the strength to do it. It's all interconnected, but we forget that, right? Somewhere down the line, we decided adults are supposed to be really, really serious.
Right.
You know?
And I also imagine, I remember, like, as kids, right, we're not told to learn. We just, like, play, right?
Yes.
And you'll learn along the way by observing, right?
Yes.
Okay, don't climb so high. If I fall down, I'll hurt myself because I got hurt.
Yes.
But, you know, like, you just sort of learn to appreciate the surroundings and be observant and these sort of things. Now, when you work with corporates, so, I mean, what do they usually call you in for? Learning how to play? I mean, what do they usually call you for?
So they usually call me in for work-life balance. So I do a lot of work-life balance stuff. And I also do a lot of speaking to the mothers and the fathers in the room, right? And speaking, because for a lot of them, they're sort of like, you know, I come in as the child and family development specialist,
right,
which is really fun because when I come in, they always think like, oh, she's going to answer all our problems.
Problems.
I'm going to give them like a whole list of questions and she's going to answer it for me. And I always turn it back around. No, actually, you're going to answer this.
Okay.
And you're going to answer it based on these leadership skills that I'm about to give you.
Right.
We just did a date night and parents came in thinking they're going to have we're going to sit down, have a nice dinner, But really what we did was we set up an environment where they could see each other. Right? Because that's the heart of parenting. The heart of parenting is, am I seen? Am I heard? Do I matter? And if you can take care of that, right, if you can take care of yourself, then you can take care of others. I mean, you can take care of others, you can take care of the environment, which is my third point, which is just that we have to respect the environment.
Right.
And when we think about respecting the environment in a workplace, using respectful parenting principles, it's, am I building the culture that I want? You know, when we think about, am I hiring for culture? The beautiful, I remember when I talked about my business, I said the beautiful part about my business is that it's really hands off for the most part because we have hired for culture. We have purposely poured into employees that I know when I go out, I know what they're going to say. I know how they're going to act because we share the same vision.
Right.
Do your employees know the vision? Do they understand what the heart is? And so many times we think, oh, I just hired them even though I knew they weren't the right fit for our culture, but I needed that role filled.
Yeah.
Has that ever worked out?
Right. Right.
And most of the time that ends up being like a drama of itself because they didn't understand the vision, because they weren't the culture, because we weren't planting the right seeds.
Okay. And you talk about accountability also, right? The three B's. You use them to hold yourself and your child accountable. And so tell me about these three B's. You know, this last, but this, and how they translate into the workplace.
So they're really, really simple. And again, they apply to your workplace. They apply to our family. They apply to friendships. Mm. And it's just be kind. Be authentic and be brave. I know it's very like airy-fairy, but if you start with those principles, if you say, I'm going to be kind, it really means I'm going to be respectful.
Right.
I'm going to ask how I can add value to an organization instead of tick, tick, tick. And when you do that, you automatically move yourself from just another face in the crowd or another business to a business with heart, right? And everybody wants to support. Everybody wants to feel love and belonging. Everybody wants to feel like the cause of the greater good. And if you are kind and if you're authentic, that means genuinely grateful for these people, genuinely in the moment with them. And if you are brave, remember going back, asking for what you want, apologizing when you don't want to apologizing, saying I made a mistake when I don't want to say I made a mistake. Sometimes it's making the hard decision of saying, I'm so sorry. I just have to let you go. This just isn't working out for us, and I have to respect myself and I have to respect you that this is not where you're growing. And so I think being brave, sometimes we think being brave as going in and going rah, 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 but sometimes being brave is quiet and just as small and as simple as saying, I'm going to hold space for you. I'm going to be brave and say nothing when you're hurting because that is what you need me to do right now. Yeah.
You know, thanks for being with us. You know, I guess a lot of things that we learned in the workplace or can apply in the workplace, we learned in the playground.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. I'm speaking to Rachel Kwas from Child and Family Development Specialist and also from Rachel K, talking about how respectful parenting can be applied in a work setting. You've been listening to Raise a Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.